Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, and then go ahead and flip through and get to Daniel chapter 3, and I'm going to get us started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for every person that's on this line, every person that will listen to this teaching later. I thank you, Father, for the things that you're revealing to your servants. I thank you, Father, for the hour in which we live. What a privilege it is to witness the things we are about to witness. Come, Holy Spirit, and be our teacher tonight. Settle things around us as we seek your face. And help us to press through, Lord God, as we pray even after this time of teaching. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you. In your precious name, amen. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of teaching, review a wonderful history, and then I'm going to share an experience I had with you and to wrap it all up. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Now, if we go through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Paul, when he writes this to the Hebrews, he is speaking into their lives to bring them to their Messiah and help them to grow in the faith that has been granted them. And as he relays all of these magnificent, really, heroes of the faith to the Hebrews, they would know exactly who they were, because in the East, things are very, very, very entrenched, very enriched by history. They know who they came from. We learn this in the Bible as we, you know, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. I mean, there's chapters, full chapters of just genealogy that takes us from Adam to the birth of Christ. Why? Because that is the covenant. That was the covenant promise given in the garden. And it was woven throughout the history of the nation of Israel. And so they, as a nation, would know exactly who these people were that Paul was referring to. They would know the history of it. They would know the richness of it. And he is saying it is by faith that they obtained these things, that they achieved these things, that they overcame these things, that they were able to have the strength to do these things. It was by faith. Faith is God's unmerited favor. Faith is something that has to be a gift from God. It is nurtured by the child of God. Through what? Prayer in the Word. Faith is something that we anchor our future on. Faith is the substance, the very thing that resides within us to hold on to the future. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I talked last week about the importance of faith, especially in this hour. And for those of you that were on with us, you'll remember this. For those of you that weren't, I'm just going to briefly summarize this. the Lord had given me an experience where he showed me in the Revolutionary War where the angels were sent to strengthen our soldiers. Why? Because the destiny of this nation was at stake, and they were under the most dire situation and circumstances fighting for the freedom of this nation. And today we find ourselves in a dire situation. And the Lord sends his angels to strengthen us, to watch over us. We all know this about our guardian angels. We all know that they will minister strength to us. We've seen this in the Word of God. But if we are raising up a shield of fear and doubt, it's very difficult for them to minister strength to us. When we lift up our shield of faith, we can receive the strength we need. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is what we need in this hour. Faith about what? Faith of the promises to come. We are in, and as I shared last week, we are in a revolution. And what is that revolution? We are revolting against tyranny. The tyranny that is trying to steal our nation. Not just our nation, the one we live in, the one that we walk in. Life is very short. We know this. But the destiny, the purpose that this nation was created for. That's what they're trying to steal. And so the fight that we're in right now is for the future of not only our own lives, but this nation and all that it represents. The revival that will be birthed from this nation, the end time revival, as his glory pours out over this nation and around the world. The billion soul harvest. These are the things we fight for. So faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Paul goes on to say by faith, and he talks about Abraham, he talks about Sarah, he talks about Moses, he talks about Abel, he talks about everyone that the Hebrews would be very educated about. Until he gets down to the very end and he stops naming those names, but the people involved are incredibly important. So we're going to go all the way down to verse 34. A, by faith, they quenched the violence of fire. By faith, they quenched the violence of fire. That word quenched means extinguished. Violence, that word is power, dunamis. By faith, they extinguished the power or the violence of fire. Who are we talking about? Well, let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Verse 19. Now, this is when they are now in the captivity. This was what Jeremiah had prophesied. A couple of other prophets had prophesied that they would go into captivity because they kept falling into sin. They would have 70 years captivity. So now they have been taken captive by Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar is their king. So then was, now just a little preliminary, Nebuchadnezzar had built a statue of gold that was, you know, stories tall. And at the, and he brought in all of the leaders of his provinces, all the princes. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar was king, you know, that's when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel were brought in. They were trained up under them, and they grew in strength and in stature with the wisdom of the Lord. And so they were appointed in positions of power. Daniel was at the top. He was at the gate of the king. He was a very, very powerful man in Babylon. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were also over certain areas. And so for the great unveiling of the statue, that everybody gets to worship, right? They bring them all in. I don't know where Daniel is. The Bible does not tell us where Daniel is. I actually looked into this to see if any of the other, any commentaries or anything that was about it. And they just, it's really absent of the information where Daniel was. He was likely on a very special mission because we know he would not be bowing to the statue, right? So here it is. At the appointed time, when all of the musicians sound off, everybody bows before this statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will not. So, verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it want to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. I thought that was quite interesting. These men are national, you know, district or province leaders, and he's binding them with his strong arm army. They bind them up. Verse 21, and these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the fiery furnace. We're going to stop there for a minute. So here, and I thought it was quite interesting that the Bible depicts exactly what they were wearing, because every single thing they were wearing was incredibly flammable. And after this event, they come out and they are fully examined by the men, and there's not even a singed hair among them. So they're bound up and thrown into this fire. This fire is seven times hotter. This fire would go up almost double the size of the size of this furnace, and this furnace was big enough for a man to stand in it, and then some. It was so hot that the men who threw them in were consumed by the fire. And these men, because they were bound, fell to the ground, stumbled and fell because they couldn't even get themselves untied. Verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Now, the Lord gave me an experience, which I'm going to share with you shortly, earlier this week. And in this experience, this is what the experience reminded me of. So that's why I went to this. And I began to read about this, and I read this over and over and over. And as I was reading this, it clicked. They went in bound, but they came up unbound. When the Lord came in and was there to protect them, they were unbound. The very thing that the enemy was trying to do, bind them up and retain them, and thrust them into the fire, which I thought that was quite interesting that they were bound to go into a fire that would kill them, but I'm sure that it was ceremonial. The Lord unwrapped those bindings. Can you picture this? Raised them up, and they were walking about, unbound, with one who looked like the Son of God. Now, Nebuchadnezzar didn't know what the Son of God looked like, but he knew no God he created could ever stand in that fire. So these men were walking about in a fire meant to destroy them, free. And I meditated on this. Day after day, I meditated on that. And I said, Lord, why did they bind them? And what's the significance? I believe there's something deeper. And he said to me, he said, you know, they would have run into that fire before bowing to that idol. Even if it meant their death, they would have run into the fire. And I said, they would? He said, yes. Man had bound them, but they went in there free. And I thought about that, and they were walking about, and consider for a moment what was going on. They're in the flames, walking about, talking to the one sent to protect them. What did they talk about? Because certainly when they were unbound, they didn't try to flee. In fact, they didn't try to escape at all. They only came out under the king's command. Did he impart things to them in the midst of that fire? These were men who went in bound in the natural, free in the spirit, and came out both free in the natural and free and undoubtedly filled with information that the Lord needed them to have that they only could receive in the midst of the fire. Consider for a moment, please, how free were these men? Free enough to stay in the fire with the Lord. And I took that and I applied it to the experience that I had earlier this week that I'm about to share with you. Because the Lord had me in this book over and over. I read these passages over and over. I read that passage and it finally hit me, the impact of that experience. Because Nebuchadnezzar, you know, the Babylonian reign was about to end. Nebuchadnezzar was a man of great power and a great pride. We learn in the next chapter, that's when he's, you know, out in the field, eating grass like a beast because of his pride. Nebuchadnezzar was one who, when they built up Babylon, he had his name stamped on every brick. As they built up the walls and they built up the structures, his name was stamped on every brick for posterity's sake. Saddam Hussein, and Babylon is about an hour outside of Baghdad. When Saddam Hussein built his kingdom back there, he built a lot of it right on the remains. So they lost a lot of the ancient site and the archaeology there. But he did the same thing. He stamped his name on every brick as it was built. These are men of power, men of pride, and God often will use the most humble to deal with and bring down a man of pride. As I pondered this and as I reflected on the vision and the experience, it really was not just a vision. It was an experience that I had this week that I'm going to share with you. It was January 18th, so just a few days ago, and I was sitting before the Lord in prayer, and I was praying, and as I was praying, I was just praying in the Spirit, and it became more and more intense, there was intent in my intercession. And I was caught up in a whirlwind of fire. And I am telling you that this was terrifying. I saw things that I'm not going to share everything here because I saw so much. But I want to share with you the intent of this experience. I was caught up into a whirlwind of fire and I saw many things, but there was no fear of the events. 2022, the year of the catalyst. The enemy exposed and revealed himself in 2021, but in 2022, the Lord will thrust him through and through. And that's what the Lord told me. The first 6 months will seem as if you're in the fire. I'll break through in March and then back into the fire. June will see the sunlight as a nation has not seen in decades. We are fast approaching the third great awakening, my friends. Press in and press on like Daniel's friends in the fire, or Daniel even in the lion's den. I will surround my people and keep you safe. I am your shield and buckler, your ever-present help in times of great trouble. Lean on me, lean into me, and this will seem just a dream. And I said, a dream? Because I was terrified by the whirling fire around me, but I was reflecting, you know, at like a reverential fear of the Lord, not by the events I was seeing. But I thought, a dream. I mean, this last 2 years in particular have been exceptionally hard, Lord. And he said, yes, a dream. Many in the end will feel untouched. Many will be, and especially in this next 6 months, will be unharmed. My people will be protected when they pull into me. I am your shield. I am your buckler. Lean into me, saith the Lord. The shakings of 2020 were to loosen you from the world. The revelations of 2021 were to anchor you to me, says the Lord. The catalyst of 2022 will thrust you forward in my glory. When I found myself on solid ground, I saw a heavy red velvet curtain, and I walked up and I drew it back. And it was so thick, my friends. It was so thick. It was a thick velvet curtain. And when I drew it back, he poured out his glory. And he began to declare, I will open the blind eyes. I will heal the brokenhearted. I will open the deaf ears. I will pull back the veil on my inner court and pour out my glory upon this land. Come up to the mountain, my children. Come up to the mountain. Do you know, and I shared this with our Joel's Army PCLs, I shared with them that 2022, and I've never done this in the history of any of my teachings, but looked up the Hebrew word for 2022. 2022 in Hebrew is har. It means mountain. This isn't a place to fear, but a place of comfort and strength. It was a terror to the children of Israel. Why? Because they had been just come out of a nation of sin. But it was a place of comfort and strength to Moses and Joshua, who had been pressing in. You, brothers and sisters, have continued to press in. You, my brothers and sisters, have kept this nation stable. Stable, you see? You ask? Stable. The enemy's plan was to split this nation in two and shatter it. But the intercession, the faithful intercession of those willing to come up to the mountain have been what's kept this nation stable. The things that are being broken off of this nation are things that must be broken off this nation. What is going to come forth out of this is a nation refined and usable by God to launch his end time revival. In 2019, at our GOE in D.C., the Lord told me revival was coming to this nation. It was at that same GOE he told me 2020 would be the year of shaking. And I thought, well, at first I thought shaking of his glory, but, you know, because he had just told me revival was coming. But we saw from 2020 what the shaking was all about. And what we saw in 2021, this deep shaking that we've been in, is to loose this nation from the hands of the elite. And if we, brothers and sisters, can continue to press in, we will keep this nation stable while the Lord breaks the back, breaks the hand of bondage off of us, and sets this nation free. When the Lord told Mom, I think it was 2000, it's been 12 years, to start Joel's Army. She saw Joel's Army as intercessors that would be pressed into the earth, pressed with a great pressure, pressed into the earth, down, 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 and into the tectonic plates to bring stability to the nations in the midst of shaking. For those of you that have been with us since that time, you've walked with us. You've prayed the prayer points. For those that have come on these calls with us for the last decade and walked with us and interceded with us, you have no idea, and you may not really fully see it this side of heaven, but you have run into the fire. They didn't have to throw you in bound. You ran into the fire for the Lord. And you will walk out, and our nation will come out loosed from the grip of the elite. The next few months will be a struggle. Mom just shared that not too long ago. I've shared that not too long ago. Because we got to get the remnants out of here. We've got to get the corruption out. We don't want to let the corruption stay there and just start to get re-nourished. We need it out of our soil. Because when revival comes, his glory pours out across this nation. We don't want it tainted and corrupted. We want our nation to be a nation that does and fulfills its destiny to be a refuge nation and to be a nation from which the gospel will flow until the Lord's return. And I know it's been a difficult season, and I prayed over you guys last week that God would strengthen you. But I remind you that Paul says in Ephesians 6, we have to have our shield of faith. We have to carry it with us because that's how we can thwart the fiery darts of the enemy. That's how we can avail ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord, to being strengthened by the Lord, and being protected in the midst of our intercession. This is a critical time. And when we get on the other side of this, you're going to look back at this and thank God you stayed in the fire. Because the freedoms that will come, and your families, the freedoms that will come to your families as a result of it, you'll look back. The Lord told me, He said, they will look back and say, I never thought we'd see what we saw in 2022. It's going to be that historical. So stay in the fire. Run to the fire. Don't be afraid to stay in the press, because this season is critical. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these intercessors. I thank you for those that may not even realize they were intercessors, like me for, you know, several years. Thank you that they're with us. Thank you that they have not given up the fight. Thank you, Lord, that those that just come to hear the teaching and to be a part of deposits and impartations and to learn how to be an intercessor, thank you that they're here so they can grow and their faith can be encouraged. They can learn what it means. Oh, we could go weeks and weeks, months and months just on Hebrews 11 and the messages and the lessons learned in that chapter. They can learn to walk it out, live it, and apply it in their lives, oh God. Be a part of witnessing historical events from your perspective, oh Lord. From your perspective. I thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.